What a great time it is for us to be in Cape Town. I just want to say, firstly, thank you. The biggest thank you to Verna and Lisa. You guys are so privileged to be able to have some great leaders here. And I think each time we've come here, each time we are so convicted. Just as much as Barnabas was able to go to Antioch in the book of Acts, we are able to see God's grace each time we are able to come here. I think the way the fellowship here is just evidence of God's grace. And I thank you for always welcoming us. Thank you for your smiles. Thank you for serving our wonderful Creator. Amen. And again, my wife and I, a picture is going to come. It's going to come up on the screen. This is my family. That's my wife and our wonderful son Theodore. And it's a couple of weeks ago when we were having a teen Valentine's ball. It was a mask ball, and Theo and his mom had that picture taken. But my wife and I, we've been working with these young, vibrant, wonderful people for a while. And it's always great when you work with teens. So many of you, we know you based on your children. I don't know whether you know that, but sometimes I might be able to ask you, okay, who's your child again? And I can be able to map who you are based on your child. Not that we have any prejudgments of who really you are, what your character is all about. But I'm just saying we can be able to know you based on your children. Amen. We, like Verna was talking about, every year we have in the past 2 years, we have like 3 camps now, one in Zim and the other one, the other two here. We have hosted plus or minus 300 or 400 teenagers youth, preteens and teens. And it's always a great time for us. We're going to start off by showing you a video of what we ran this year, right at the beginning of January. We had a camp, and I'm just going to show you some few pictures of camp in pictures. Amen. If we can please run the video.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Go back to a time only we know. Gotta keep swimming. Where's Nemo? Running, 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 race fly. Every pace and every single stride. Cause we're living here at camp. Living every single night and day. Hey! Living for the Lord, everybody just hear us say.
And you know, you can't walk alone. You gotta walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord.
Solomon's, take it back to a time only we miss. See, we make mistakes. Culture of love, it's about grace. It ain't a walk, it's a race. Living every single day through faith. Now step me in the face and sing it. That it's about grace. Just hear us say.
And you know, you know, you know, you can't walk alone. You gotta walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord.
Clap, clap, clap,
accept your pains if you got love, love, love.
So that's what we were able to work with this year. That's what God allowed us to be able to work with. You know, what we have in God is completely priceless. What we are able to experience sometimes with your children or with each other is honestly priceless. The families that we have, the families that God has blessed us with, this family that we see, the family in Joburg, the family wherever it is that God has been able to build is priceless. Today, the topic that we have is simply the priceless God that we have. If you want a one-word sermon, it's simply priceless. You know, deep within us, deep within our hearts, God created us with something unique. It is a passion for life. It is a passion for adventure. But ultimately, God created us with a passion to be able to connect with Him. And that passion drives us every single day. That passion drives us to passionately live for something bigger than ourselves. In fact, the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. But one who has insight draws them out. You know, what we feel inside is deep. What goes on inside of our hearts is real. Now, we may act differently from the outside, but what's going on in the inside is real. And our Creator, He knows that purpose of your heart. He knows what's going on deep down in our hearts. Now, there's a movie that I love, and it's called Braveheart. All-time favorite movie. And there's a quote that that's going to come up on the screen that William Wallace says in that movie. He says this. He says, every man dies. We know that. We are all going to die, right? But not every man really lives. You know, there's a lot to life than what meets the eye. And most of us know that. We know that it's not about power. Even the most powerful are lonely. We know that it's not about fame. Even the most popular people are not happy with their own lives. We know that it's not about fortune. We know that even the people with money, they don't even have the happiness that they desire. So the question becomes, can you and I figure out how to really live? Are we really living in our lives? You know, it's funny, when I work with teens, most of the times they ask me this question. Uncle Rodwell, I really desire to fall in love with God. How do I connect with God? How can I create a relationship with God? Or how can I ignite a passion for God? For some of us, even as I speak about this, some of us maybe who are adults will be able to say, that's the 0.0001% of us, by the way. We say, yeah, I do know the answer. But for most of us, we actually need help to be taught how to ignite the passion that God created us with, that's inside of our hearts. And we're going to learn together this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 24. If we can please be turning our Bibles to that. I asked her last night, so how much time do I have? And Verna said, you can take 2 hours. I'm kidding. I only have one point this morning, so you don't have to worry much. One point. So if you ask, what did you learn this morning, or when you went to church, you can say, one, there was a short guy who was preaching, and he had a very short sermon. And he only had one point to make. And that one point is, we have a priceless passion that we've been given by God. In Luke chapter 24, let's read together from verse 13. It's a long passage, but we're gonna read together. It's funny, I'm getting older, and as older as I get, I have to actually write my notes in big, bold. It's no longer that 10 point, but it's now 13 point, and it is in bold, so that I can be able to see. But amen, let's try that. So, it says in verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" It's amazing, as they're walking down the road, it says, the Bible tells us about two of them, and one of them is named Cleopas. One of them, the other one, is believed to have been Luke by scholars. And they're just talking, and they're talking about, obviously, what has happened. Jesus has been crucified. It's now the third day. He's promised he was going to raise and so forth. And they're talking, and Jesus appears, as the Bible tells us. And he appears close to them, and he kind of like he's walking, and he gets closer to them. "What are you guys talking about?" And they looked at each other amazed, and they're like, "Don't you know what's going on? It's as though it's me, a Joburger, coming. You know, there's been rain in Joburg, and everything is green, and I rock up, and I'm like, why is it all so dry here? What's happening?" And you obviously look at me, and you say, "Don't you know what's been happening? There's been no rain. We haven't had rain for many months, right?" But then, what I appreciate about these men is that Jesus rebukes them. He says this to them, "How foolish you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things then enter his glory. They're humble. They're being rebuked by a stranger. They did not take offense. They are desiring to understand, where is he actually coming from? And the Bible continues on to say, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began to explain to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. He talks them through the Bible. He talks them through all the prophecies in the first five books of the Bible. What Moses had talked about concerning himself. There is a lot in the Old Testament that points to Jesus. He helped them see the big picture. You know, we can know the scriptures, but sometimes we need people to help us put it all together. I was privileged to study the Bible with a guy by the name of Steve Newell. His picture is going to come up on the screen there. That's Steve now with his family. They now live in Atlanta. So I was met actually by Don Peden's father. By Dave Peden's father, Don Peden. And then he brought me to church. And then Steve, started studying the Bible with me. So when Steve invited me to study the Bible, he said, let's study the Bible together. I was like, great. At that point in my life, I'd grown up going to church. I grew up thinking I am the most wonderful person that has ever lived. So when Steve invited me to study the Bible, in my mind, I thought, this is great. I need to show him how much I know of the Bible. This is actually awesome. I need to show him the scriptures that I've memorized. I need to show him, how good of a man I am, how good a teenager I am, how good of a great guy I am. You know how that poem goes, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, right? So we sat down and we are studying the Bible together, and we hit the hardcore of the study. We're talking about what it means to be a follower of Christ and so forth. And I never forget, Steve did not mean his words. He says, so, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a disciple? And with all confidence in my heart and in my life and the scriptures that I knew, I said, yes, I am. He says, okay, let's study some more. So we kept looking at the scriptures. At the end of it all, he says to me, if Jesus was to come and stand right before you today and look you in the eye and ask you this question, are you a disciple? What would you say? I couldn't bear the fact of Jesus walking down, coming down and stooping down and looking at me. I said, no. What did Steve do? He simply helped me connect the dots of where my life was at. You know, most of us in our lives, we need to realize this, that all that God is doing for us in our lives is helping us connect the dots from A to B, from ourselves to God. That all the things that are happening in our lives, good and bad, they are to help us point us to God. That the lives that we are living today is to help us connect ourselves to God. But let's just imagine for a moment, if everything in your life, the life that you are living right now, if everything in your life pointed towards Jesus, what would your life be like? What would your conversations be like? For some of us, what would our actions be like? What would be our family like? What would be our lives like? What would you be like? Now, let's take it a step further. If Cape Town, let's just say Cape Town, the whole world is different, but let's just say Cape Town was just like Jesus, what would Cape Town be like? Imagine what would happen in traffic. People are just hooting at each other. Hello. Imagine in our workplaces, hey brother, how are things going? I mean, wouldn't that be a great place to live? I mean, everybody would be like, how can I apply to move to Cape Town, right? What do I need to do to be in Cape Town? It's interesting, though, when you look at the area of view of Cape Town. What do we see? Beautiful, right? See Table Mountain. Looks beautiful, doesn't it? Big stadium that we have built 2010, right? We see the tall buildings that we have built. We see a bit of our industry and so forth, right? We see what's going on in Cape Town, and it's awesome. It looks beautiful. You know, they did a replica of the city of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. And this is what it looks like. You see what's magnified there? What that big thing is? It was the temple of God. You see the difference between you and me today? What do we magnify? What's important to us? See, in Jerusalem, it was easy to know who was big. It was God. I mean, you couldn't get lost knowing where the temple is, right? Everybody knew, okay, it's down the road. That big thing you see, that's it. That's for our God. That's it. Are you new here? I mean, there it is. God was magnified during those days. There was no confusion. There was no competition. God was big. Is God this big in your life? Is God this magnified in your life? Is God this important in your life? You know, they say this verse, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? See, while Jesus was helping them connect the dots, their hearts were burning within them. There was a passion, there was a fire that was going on inside of them. While Jesus is able to help you see his word, there is a fire that goes on inside of us. In fact, Psalm 39 verse 3, which will come up on the screen, you find David saying these words. He says, my heart grew hot within me while I meditated. The fire burnt, then I spoke with my tongue. For David, his heart grew hot within him. The fire of God burnt as he started thinking about God's word. Have you ever had one of those days when you're going through God's word and you just get excited? You just get fired up about what you're learning, about what you're going through, about what God is saying or what God is revealing to you. Jeremiah 20, in verse 9, it also says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I mean, this dude, he says he's on fire, man. There's like fire in his bones. Just try to imagine what that would be like. He says, I'm weary of holding it in. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting down and I'm reading my Bible, and as I'm reading my Bible, you know, I get so fired up or so excited about what I'm learning. Sometimes I just can't sit. I'm like, okay, this is just good. Or I get up or I walk around and so forth. Because for me, it's just so awesome. And I feel like, man, I need to talk to somebody about this. That's what God does to each one of us. But you know what? Maybe for you and I today, it's been a while since you felt this inside of you. It's been a while since maybe some of us had this kind of interaction with God. Or perhaps maybe even for some of us, we have never had this kind of experience. And only God knows how badly we need it. And sometimes we question. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes we feel like, but I don't, God, I don't know. I want to connect with you, but I don't know how. God, I want to be this close. I see others connecting with you, but I'm just not figuring how I can be able to do it. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to doubt. We need to talk about it. We need to find people that we can be able to talk to, who can be able to help us. Like the two, they had Jesus who was able to open the scriptures with them, who was able to open their eyes of their hearts, was able to help them see who God was and what God was actually doing in their lives. As I close out, or as we close out, we're going to look at, there's a guy who is a poet. Some of your kids might remember this, or some of the teens might remember this from camp. There's a guy who was called Joseph Solomon. He did a poem. And in the first part of the poem that he did, he talks about the doubts that are going on in his heart, the questions that he's got. And he talks about the emotions that are going on in his life as he's just trying to reach out to God. He looks at his grandmother passing away and so forth, and he realizes he just doesn't have that connection with God. And he desires it as well. And then later on, he has a response, which we are going to watch. He responds as though it's God now speaking to him. Take a look at what he says.
My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears, my child. Don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh at you, laugh you right out of their classrooms, and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your fate. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, when it feels like you are drowning in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, we can have, sometimes we can have our questions, sometimes we can have our doubts. But what's clear is that God loves us. And nothing is ever going to change that. You will love us through thick and thin. He's always there. I mean, all we need to do, some of us, is just take a look outside. This did not happen by happenstance, as some people would say. What God has done for each one of us individually is create us with a passion and a desire for Him. And once you and I start seeing that big picture of God's love in our lives, it will help us ignite that passion that God has created us with. So today, I just want to encourage you, take a journey back in time. Take a journey and look at what God is doing in your life, good and bad. Appreciate that journey.